Like anyone, we would all like to think that our favorite ministers are almost infallible concerning the Word. Yet the Bible states that the Berean saints were more noble than those at Thessalonica. For when they had heard the Word, they received it with all readiness of mind, and searched the Scriptures to see if the things Paul was preaching were so. And we would do well to follow the example of those noble Bereans, and search the Scriptures to see if what our minister says is so. For instance, some are teaching that you should pray about a matter until the burden lifts, while others teach that you should pray about a matter one time, and then thank and praise God in faith until it comes to pass. Some are teaching that you should plead the blood of Jesus on situations. Well, have you searched the Scriptures to see if these things are so? I'm James Warden, and this is Have You Heard the Good News? It's sad to acknowledge, but many believers have become gullible to ministerial personalities who are on television and radio. And today, some of those ministers are preaching out of their own spirit things which are not according to the Word of God. And if you, the believer, are not skillful in rightly dividing the Word, then you are easy prey for their errors to handicap your faith and to hinder your new man's growth and grace. And you may even end up like the Israelites, just wandering aimlessly in your walk of faith, going around and around in circles for decades, detoured by their ungodly counsel. For instance, there's prevalent false teachings concerning our prayer life. Many believers are teaching that if you have a problem, then take it to the Lord in prayer. And if the problem still persists, just thank Him and praise Him in faith for the answer. But do not pray about it again. And if you ask them why you shouldn't pray about it again, they will tell you that if you pray about the same problem again, then in actuality you are denying that you had faith when you took it to the Lord in prayer the first time. Therefore, they conclude that you only pray once about a matter, because if you pray about it again, then you are showing that you were wavering in your faith in your previous prayer. And the man that wavereth shall not receive anything of the Lord. Now, many ministers practice and endorse this teaching, but it is not scriptural, because nowhere in the Word of God has God ever set limits on how many times you should pray about a matter. Contrarywise, He says, pray without ceasing, period. And many believers who are enamored with the television personalities who teach this have not searched the Scriptures for themselves to see if this thing is so. So when anyone counsels you that you are only to pray one time about a matter, or else you are in unbelief, you tell them by the Word that that teaching is not scriptural. Because in 2 Corinthians 12:9, the Apostle Paul says concerning his thorn in the flesh, because of this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. Notice Paul says that he besought the Lord thrice, or three times, concerning his problem. And then the Lord answered him, saying, my grace is sufficient for thee. Another example of persistent prayer about the same matter is that of the Syrophoenician woman, found in Matthew 15:23. The woman came unto Jesus and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. And the Scripture records, and I quote, but he answered her not a word, unquote. Here she is beseeching the Lord, and he answers her not a word. And did she thank and praise him and go on her way rejoicing? No. It says, she came nearer and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. And you know what Jesus said? He said, it is not right for me to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. He associated her status to that of a dog because she was not of the children of Israel. And did she thank him and praise him and go on her way rejoicing? No. She agreed with him and said, that's true, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. And then it is written that Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. and her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Notice, she entreated the Lord three times about the same thing. And the false teaching, which many ministers are promoting, says that that shows a lack of faith. But Jesus says it shows great faith, for he said unto her, "Great is thy faith." Also in Colossians chapter 4, verse 12, Paul records that Epaphras was always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that the saints may stand perfect in all the will of God. Notice that it says that Epaphras was always, and always means more than once, it says that Epaphras was always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that the saints may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Epaphras did not just pray one time and then start giving God thanks and praise that the saints would now stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. It says that Epaphras labored fervently in prayers. It did not say that Epaphras labored fervently in a prayer. It says that Epaphras labored fervently in prayers, plural, for the saints standing in the will of God. And Jesus taught the value of relentless prayer in Luke chapter 18. It says that Jesus spoke a parable unto this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying that there was in a city a judge, which feared not God nor regarded men. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, "Avenge me of mine adversaries." And he would not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself, "Though I fear not God, nor regard men, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me." And the Lord said, "Hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him? Though he bear long with them, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily." Remember, this parable was written to the end that men ought always to pray. And the woman in this parable came continually about the same matter. So, when anyone counsels you that if you take a matter to the Lord in prayer more than once, then you are in unbelief, you tell them that that teaching is hogwash, or else Jesus Christ was in error when he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. Because in Matthew 26:36-44, Jesus told his disciples to sit down while he went to pray. And in verse 39 it says, "And he went a little distance and fell upon his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he got up and went back to the disciples and found them asleep. And he said unto Peter, What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Then the Bible says, he went away the second time and prayed, saying, Father, O my Father, if this cup may not pass from me except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came back again and found his disciples again asleep. And listen to verse 44. It's the key here. In verse 44, it states that he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. I repeat, it says that he went away again and prayed the third time, giving thanks and praise? No. It says he prayed the third time, saying the same words. So, when people tell you that you should only pray one time about a matter, or you're operating in unbelief, showing a lack of faith in your first prayer, then they are giving Jesus Christ a slap in the face. Because in Matthew 26:44, it says that he went away and prayed again the third time, saying the same words. Not only did he pray about the same matter three times, he even said the exact same words in his last prayer. And Jesus Christ is called the author of faith. And by their false teaching, Jesus Christ lacked faith in the first two times when he prayed the third time using the same words. And we know that that's false doctrine, since he is the author of faith. For when Jesus Christ stood before Lazarus' tomb, He said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I know that thou always hearest me. So this shows that Jesus Christ knew his first two prayers were heard, and that it's okay to petition the Lord a third time about a matter, even using the same words. And any counsel that tells you that you should not pray about a matter again is insinuating that Jesus Christ was in error, and therefore it is ungodly counsel, because it is counsel which is not according to the Word of God. And another religious fad which many godly men are practicing and endorsing is pleading the blood of Jesus. Many are teaching the saints that when contrary circumstances arise, just plead the blood of Jesus. And though this sounds awesomely spiritual, it is not. It's only a vain jangling of the doctrines of men, because pleading the blood is not scriptural. For nowhere did any apostle practice this, nor did Jesus ever instruct believers to use such a tactic. We are not to plead the blood of Jesus on any matter or any person. For the scripture tells us that the blood of Jesus is used only for two things, namely, to wash our souls eternally free from sin, thereby overcoming Satan's destiny for them in hell, while giving us a good conscience toward God. And the secondary use for the blood of Jesus will be to purge some heavenly things, according to Hebrews chapter 9. And these are the only two uses that the scripture gives concerning the blood of Jesus. Firstly, to overcome Satan by washing our souls eternally free from sin, and secondly, to purge some heavenly things. Notice that the blood is not used to change situations or circumstances. To change situations and circumstances, we are not to plead the blood of Jesus. To change situations and circumstances, we are to use the name of Jesus, for there is power in the name of Jesus. For in the name of Jesus, we can rebuke the devil and speak to the circumstances and problems, and they shall be removed. To change circumstances and situations, we are not to plead the blood of Jesus. To change circumstances and situations, we are to use the name of Jesus. So, let's dismiss the religious fad of pleading the blood, for God has never authorized any believer to plead the blood of his Son to change a situation or a circumstance. To change situations and circumstances, we speak to them in the name of Jesus. So if anyone counsels you to plead the blood of Jesus, they are giving you ungodly counsel, because it is counsel which is not according to the Word of God. I am James Warden, and this is Have You Heard the Good News?